Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
Well, Jordan, what'd you think of that game? You know what? I know what you thought of that game.
Well, we're going to be very explosive. This will be one of the most explosive offenses in all of college football.
And once we get it going, and we're going to get it going. I mean, it's all we've ever done is win. We're going to get it going. And once you do, it's going to take off.
Losing's not acceptable. There are no moral losses.
Unacceptable in all areas.
Accountable. Totally unacceptable.
It's completely unacceptable.
This performance is completely unacceptable. You get
unacceptable coaching, unacceptable playing, unacceptable effort. It's not what we're about.
And very disappointing, but we didn't play well.
Extremely disappointed.
Very disappointed in the effort that we got tonight.
Obviously very disappointed in the outcome.
Was disappointing.
Everything's going to take some time, but and so how are we going to do it? We're going to by being the absolute best freaking press conference we can have right here today.
Oh, what a joke!
That last one really gets me.
Oh man, I've said it a few times. I've said it a few times. I don't know how I still don't drink as a Hog fan. I really don't, because there are some built-in drinking games. Every time we hear unacceptable in a press conference. What's some other ones just off the top of your head?
From Vanilla Chad Morris?
Vanilla by Design.
Simplify.
A lot of hurt in the locker room.
A lot of hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy. It is one thing to see that after Halloween, because that is terrifying, that game.
That's all of it. That is the worst game in my 30 years that I have ever watched. And unfortunately, that is including a year with John L. Smith.
Is it the sprinkle of the K.J. Jefferson? Is that what, like, if it was a, you know, crap show from start to end, like it was looking, and we didn't have the K.J. Jefferson, would it just, I mean, does it help any? I mean,
I'm going to kind of steal from a lot of Twitter stuff, because unfortunately I was on Twitter during the game, after the game, all day today. And I think so my first thought about it being terrible was up until John Stephen Jones came in. That was the worst. I mean, you could literally see the whole team deflated when he came out.
Well, I feel like we don't know where it was at, but probably the moment that they said they were going with Hicks, once the rest of the team knew that Hicks was the guy, it just kind of showed that.
Well, and there's some speculation. Well, we're getting ahead of my look. The fact that John Stephen Jones came in and scored yet another touchdown on an absolute dime of a pass with someone right in his face, and I think he got hit that on that same throw, and then KJ comes in and goes 75 yards in four plays.
Yep.
But hey, Dylan, that was a simplified playbook. Did you know that there were split back systems in place with what we run here?
I heard there was something like that. I feel like,
have we seen that literally? I know there's been motions into the backfield, but have we ever taken a snap from the set of two backs with the quarterback? And all of a sudden, we're moving the ball with that.
And you got to think about the sprinkle that they did in there. I guess that's going to be my word of the day right now, is freaking sprinkle something in there.
Keep it simple, man.
Sorry. But we were bringing Burks down. Like, it wasn't just a two-back. We were...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Being a little different with it. Like, we were getting the ball into playmakers' hands because we had three of them in the backfield at a time.
We had three. We had Boyd, Jefferson, and Burks in the backfield at the same freaking time,
dude. Dude, KJ was playing with so much juice as soon as he was
God.
There. And the team was right there with it. And they're going to give me the whole spark stuff, but I feel like that guy is going to give it from, you know, he should have. Red shirt out the door. I don't even care where he was when he was on campus. The tools alone, a week of practice, you should have seen. Like, we got to get this guy in the game somehow week one.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, it's easy with the hindsight, but hey, we finally got to see what he can do.
Right. But and somebody you cannot
was saying,
tell
oh,
me
he's going against the second team. That safety he plowed over was their starting safety.
Yeah.
So,
but you cannot tell me that he came on the campus and didn't show you something in week one or practice.
They were talking about
first week of practice, right? We heard
they were
it.
Talking about him.
I understand it's, he was an
it's
August.
It's been him and John Stephen Jones have been the two quarterbacks all freaking year that they have been talking about. And well, the first time John Stephen Jones comes in, we run three plays with him dropping back. We didn't run RPO once.
Right.
What the hell are you doing?
And why is it completely different offenses between your quarterbacks? You have different looks with Ben Hicks. You have different looks with Starkle. You have different looks with John Stephen Jones. You have different looks with KJ Jefferson. You know why it's so freaking complicated is because you're not making one damn game plan.
Exactly. If they, I don't even know where to begin. I'm definitely on the fire him after that. Shit, I'm done. Like that is.
I mean, I definitely thought that as soon as I saw that Ben Hicks was a starter. I'm like, well, waiting for Jordan to say something, and then you shortly did. Just a few minutes later, you said Ben. Weeping Hicks
some stuff.
Starting and repeated it.
Why? What do you have to gain? What do you have to gain from this?
I don't know. I just
Ben Hicks looks like he's out there at this point just trying to lose. It's almost like it's a joke to him at this point. That pick six, what the hell did you see?
Dude, SMU fans and SMU in general, they're following and laughing their booties off at us, man. I mean, College Game Day was there. Our boy Andy was there. He got to see it live in person, and I'm sure I saw some jabs at us in form of College Game Day signs. And
signs, yep.
It's just a wonderful thing. We've been on SportsCenter I don't know how many times, but I only know one for good reason, and it was C.J. O'Grady.
Right.
Catching.
You talking about under Morris's tenure?
Yeah, probably. I mean, think about the bad reasons that were on there. So,
I mean, you know, teams come to play us to break records, man.
Yeah. I'm so excited for Ty Story. I'm so excited. Come back home. Show some story time.
Ty Story won't beat us if KJ starts. That's the thing.
Coming off of, I don't even care. He's still going to light us up. It might be a shootout with Western Kentucky, but, you know, I have no ill will towards Ty Story. He's coming off of a career game with Western Kentucky right now, so he's got some juice going into it, and you know he's excited to be home. And
yeah. And lucky for him, it's a hell of a year to come get us.
Yeah, it is.
But we're sitting here. It's,
have you seen the line?
20.
Have you seen the line?
Yeah, yeah. What do we get, 7?
No. I'll have to double check, but when I saw it open, it was 2.5-point favorites at home against Western Kentucky. I'm kind of surprised that it was favored. Right now, it should probably be a push.
Right now, they should be favored. I mean, it's so bad, man, and it's hard. Like, I drank a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
I drank a lot.
Yeah, there it is. Two-and-a-half-point favorite. Sorry.
2.5. I can't see that, but I believe you. And by the time they announce Hicks as a starter, that's going to go up to like 8, right?
Jeez. Oh, man.
We're sitting here. It's 8:20 at night on Sunday night, and nothing's happened.
Yep.
Nothing's happened.
Anything happened Monday or tomorrow?
No. It's going to be more of the same shit. It's going to be, that's a sad locker room. We got to get better. We got to do this and that. Everybody, you can even promote freaking couch coaches now. Everybody knows what you need to do.
I'm trying to figure out where to email my resume. I'm trying to figure out what I need to do. Do I need to attach NCAA and Madden records?
Yeah. I mean, same crap, right?
I run some custom playbooks. I guess I can print those out, too.
That's too complicated.
Too complicated?
You need to simplify that shit, man.
I've got a few. I've got a vanilla by design. You think I should just go ahead and put that one in there?
Yeah, and then just put, I have more when you're ready. When we have endured this for 10 years, and then we're finally ready to go to 60% of the playbook.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that.
How though. You're going to get, there was somebody tried to make it a race thing, and I'm not about that life, but how are you going to go up there and take KJ Jefferson's first ever Division One drive for a score that he scored on? He had everything to do with every one of those plays.
And not give him props.
And not give him props. Instead say, well, we simplified it for him. That's
pretty narcissistic, isn't it?
Piss off is what that is.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that to the kid? Like, are you trying, do you know you're getting fired and you're trying to run everybody out so we'll have a complete redo again and have to endure this shit for another 3 or 4 years?
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, Luke here says, it was simple. Let KJ run it. That dude, did you know he was that fast? I didn't, because we haven't freaking seen him.
Yeah, fresh legs, that's for sure.
My God. Like, nobody but KJ starts. Nobody sees the field but KJ, right?
Right.
Western Kentucky? But in your heart of hearts, is that going to happen?
No.
It's not, is it?
The closest thing we'll get is probably a John Stephen Jones start.
John Stephen Jones knows he doesn't need to be in front of KJ.
That's where I'm at with it. I mean, honestly, it's not going to surprise me if they're going to sit here and try to give some BS that Starkle looked more confident this week and they want to go with Starkle. Like, don't tell me that doesn't seem far-fetched. Is it what should happen?
No,
absolutely not.
That's why I just had my response that I did. It's that I just pictured it happening.
Yeah, because they've been laying that seed for a long time because they keep mentioning confidence and rattled since the San Jose State game, I think, is what they keep saying. Yeah. It's like, so you kept playing him? I mean,
what about all the responses in the press conferences from the players? They knew what KJ was.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, I think Scooter took some shots at the coach. Like, didn't surprise us.
I think it was kind of surprised. Don't necessarily know the whole story or whatnot, but when the program is where it's at right now, and then you have stuff that's happening with like CJ, and then you see CJ giving a shout out as soon as KJ makes that touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Devin Bush, the transfer.
Yeah. These guys that are essentially no longer in the program, part of the program.
It's a laughingstock, man. We are literally the dumpster fire of NCAA football.
So let's back up quite a bit and go kind of far-fetched. But remember the whole unnamed player report? You know, we didn't necessarily like it, but he said there was some issues locker room-wise. Stuff like this keeps happening, and what do you think?
There might be some stuff to it, man. I mean, I don't necessarily know if he looks at.
I don't know about the whole walk-on. That was kind of weird about it, but I mean, definitely.
Especially if the unknown player is who we think it is. Like, what is that? How do you even know? Like, you shouldn't even have an issue with that. But O'Grady, did you read that little article? It was very speculative, but. Supposedly, there is some rumors going around at this point. I don't give a shit. I'm going to talk about rumors because we suck so bad and something needs to change. But supposedly, O'Grady stood up and, you know, voiced his displeasure with the Hicks start. And so Morris suspended him for the game.
Wow.
That's the rumor. And, you know, kind of based off of I'm sure most people listening to this understand when I say or when you say you can literally see the players get lifted. The players got lifted when KJ came in.
I mean, you heard a pop and you got a little bit more with John Stephen Jones, but it was a different monster with KJ Jefferson.
It wasn't me. Me and my dad were sitting there talking on the phone, and both of us had a few in us, and we're literally laughing, you know, at this. And we both started hollering and screaming when KJ came running out.
Yep.
And what happened? Four plays, dude. Four plays.
Four really good plays. Yeah.
Four really good plays.
We didn't. It wasn't a, you know, chump play that the defense gave. It was really crisp, really well quarterback driven plays.
Yes. And then you got to give a shout out to Burks, of course, because that was a spectacular catch. But he gave him a chance to make that spectacular catch. Yeah, he bailed him out a little bit, but my God,
That's kind of why you have receivers like that.
But here's my concern, man. I think we're probably still in the same boat with Burks, and maybe not anymore. But if Morris leaves, it's kind of a double-edged sword at this point. If Morris leaves, do we lose people? If Morris stays, do we lose people?
I think either way, absolutely.
Like, okay, KJ's great. We finally got to see what he can do. Is he guaranteed to be here next year?
There's got to be some dealings, and I don't know if you can do it on the sly. If you're Juracek, you might want to be having some meetings with these kids.
Can you? Is that legal? Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Absolutely.
It's...
Even if it is in the, you know, essentially water, you know, water cooler or whatever, just in passing, but, you know, ultimately, what I want to happen is him be fired. You lose to Western Kentucky, you get fired. Barry Lunny is the interim. He keeps things afloat as well as he can. And, you know, at this point.
We fire him after Western Kentucky. We might be juiced up with KJ starting everybody. We might fight LSU tooth and nail.
Yeah. So, you know, keep Lunny around. Heck, I say you let him interview for it and see what he's got. But you definitely, right now, you're sending out feelers. You're calling guys, whatever it is. But is that what's happening? I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately, until mid-season next year. And if it happens again mid-season next year, the interim guy has to be Barry Lunny or Stepp. But it most likely would be Lunny, because Stepp probably wouldn't take that. He's one of those he made it because of Morris. And so
I would hate to lose Stepp, though.
Yep, definitely would.
If we lost Morris, whoever it is got to be talking to somebody. And Stepp's the reason we got the receivers that we have. Mm-hmm. Stepp recruited Woods, I do believe, at SMU and got him here. So, Woods, I hate it for him. You got a good quarterback. Even with the receivers we have, there's going to be guys that aren't getting looks. It would be just different besides Burks. Burks is somebody that's got to touch the ball every game. But then you got the spread it apart between Knox and Woods and your boy when he gets healthy Jones. Yeah.
Just because I feel like he can open it up a little bit. The dude's a speed demon, so it's going to happen there. But
Chavis is still here at 8:30 on Sunday. Did we have 11 guys on the field the whole time?
No, we were trying something different. I think we're going to try to put some tape together and see how we do in a 7-on-7 league. So we did a 11-on-7 drill.
It sure as shit looked like it, man. 640 yards to our 285.
I thought it was a bold strategy just to line everybody up on the goal line. No matter where they were on the field, it's just like, send them all back, you know, let them run. Hey, you know what they're going to do next play? Run.
We were talking because you were en route to your house, and there was a play where they lined up shotgun on the goal line. Running back to the right, we called a timeout on defense.
Yep.
And I'm like, why the hell are you going to call a timeout right there? You know what's happening.
We took that 30 seconds, and there we went.
Yeah, got the 30 seconds, and then we get back out there, and they came out in the same formation, and they handed the ball off.
Yeah.
Went right up the middle.
Yep.
It's insane. The whole thing is a shit show. I do not enjoy watching anymore. I'm going to still watch, but I do not enjoy watching.
Yeah. It's, what is that, insanity?
The definition of it?
Yep.
Doing the same thing over and over, hoping for a different outcome. And our producer, being the wonderful fella he is, has a picture on our
Rundown Hill is where this program's going.
Yeah. Fans just you can't see the field whatsoever. Still a shit ton of people in the stands. Then he has a picture from yesterday.
Yep. Oh man.
And there were that many people at the Beanie Bowl.
Oh yeah. I'm pretty sure those are Mississippi State fans, though.
Oh, man. You almost want to go to a game like that and have that underneath just in case, right?
Oh, man. It's just, in the first picture we're talking about is the Stormville. Storming of the field, 17-0 against LSU. That seems like 2 decades ago.
And that wasn't even that good of a team either. Like, that year was pretty rough.
No, because we endured this. We were going through a similar rut. I think it was a 12-game SEC losing streak, and we broke it against LSU. So, 17th? Oh, man. All right, that's what we're going on right now.
Yeah, we're tied right now, and it's going to get worse. We're going to get 19-game SEC losing streak.
Yeah.
It's tough.
This was definitely a different deal with this whole LSU storm, but whenever it happens, you know, whoever the new coach is and actually gets us an SEC win, can we not do this?
He gets enshrined, right?
Can we not do this, though? Like, with not even, I mean, there probably won't be that many people to actually storm the field, but.
Because nobody will be there?
Yeah.
Who would get you excited, though? I'm still not on this Norvell train. Congratulations, you beat SMU this last weekend. That's great.
It was a good game to watch. I mean, I'm sure Andy.
I was passed out by 9:30.
I'm sure literally. Andy had a blast. I've never been too high on Norvell, but obviously between the two, he's probably the better hire in retrospect now. There's not too many names out there that are jumping out on me, even the ones that I've talked offline with you about. It's tough, man.
Does this job get less desirable the longer this goes on?
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked double-edged swords, and it feels like an Auburn situation, like us as a fan base, where on the outside looking in, it's like, oh, these guys don't give their – like, we gave Bielema tons of time, too much time, I think.
Yeah, too much.
And I think we just kind of have to set that precedent, because – if a coach is going to want to do it, they're going to feel like they can do it. I don't think Chad Morris feels like he can do it. He knows he's in over his head. So something like this, and it's an X's and O's game at this point. He can get the talent here. No one, I think, is saying he's a terrible recruiter and we need to get rid of him because of that. Like, that's where the only doubt in your mind can be. It's like, gosh, if we fire him, we're going to miss out on some of that. But you also have to have faith in Juracek and look at Juracek, because I like Juracek a lot more than I do Chad Morris. And seeing him, the picture that was going viral, him dejected, sitting in that Razorback blazer, waiting outside the principal's office is the only way I can describe that look. Seeing him like that is devastating. He knows what needs to be done, unfortunately. And I have faith that he can put together a quality search and get the right guy here. And ultimately Arkansas screwed up by not having him essentially in and basically being like, hey, are you okay that we pick this guy?
Right.
And he's like,
I mean, they got introduced on the same damn day.
Yeah. It's one of those deals where that's kind of where it all falls apart. And the person that led that search isn't even with the U of A anymore. So if that tells you anything, I wouldn't be surprised if the backdoor dealings was, you might need to go find other work, Julie.
it might have been. I'm sitting here looking.
Going weird. Back, but I mean, look at, so he doesn't have, he's only got really one hire on his belt, right?
Yeah, Musselman.
Oh, two. He got Jordan
Weber.
Neighbors? He got Jordan Weber. I count that as a pretty quality one. We'll see if that works out.
I mean,
gymnastics,
Olympic gold medal win.
I feel like in that sport, that seems like a slam dunk hire.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, a good one there, and we'll see what happens with Musselman. But that seems to be the right hire right now. But that's also kind of where people thought with Morris too when the recruiting class started going the sideways. I don't think anyone saw the initial hire and said this is a slam dunk. The jury is obviously still out on Musselman because, haven't seen anything yet.
And he's already better.
We will Tuesday. So
yeah, thank God. Yeah. I hope that's a win. Jesus.
We need some wins in here. Because right now, as Razorback fans, what's the best thing we've seen this weekend? KJ Jefferson on one series, four plays, and Brandon Allen winning his first NFL.
Brandon Allen, that's not getting talked about enough, to be honest with you.
I loved every bit of it. He looked crisp. He reminded me of the boat, and it's awesome.
Do you think that we would ever, even if he does get fired, that we'll ever know why he waited so long on KJ? No. Is he a feelings coach? Did he feel like he owed it to Ben Hicks? Yeah. No, you can't even say that because he benched him, though.
Right.
And on paper, Starkle coming in, we thought that was going to be
every bit of it, but they're the thing about it, and in my mind why I'm so hyped, like I was hyped about KJ Jefferson as soon as I watched high school tape and, you know, saw where he was at. But I'm even more hyped because I know Chad Morris can't develop a quarterback. Because Ben Hicks, whatever. He can't do much with Ben Hicks at this point. But Nick Starkle has the tools available. You have to coach him up. And that obviously has not happened because we've seen the opposite of it. Now, you want to sit there and, you know, use this scapegoat or whatever with the whole mental deal and that he isn't confident enough. That's your job as a coach. You have to coach him up, get him confident. So then we move on, and at this point, these guys that are untouched, John Stephen Jones and KJ Jefferson, props to your high school coaches.
Yeah.
That's where it is. It's their God-given talent and what they've already known, because nothing they're doing in terms of mechanics or anything of that sort is because of Chad Morris. I'm sick and tired that he gets to be called the guy that started Deshaun Watson. Obviously, that's not the truth.
Well, we've been on here saying that we believe that too.
He might be the guy that recruited him, but I don't know how that happened, because he might have had the official title as offensive coordinator and QB coach, but what the hell was happening in Clemson? Was Dabo just sitting there being like, all right?
Hey. He wasn't the head coach.
So is it the smaller capacity?
Yeah, it had to be.
Okay, so we've talked this hypothetical. Can he get demoted and someone get promoted?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I still say that I think that could be something good, but in no real world is that going to happen.
Right.
But can you believe we got a recruit committed this week?
Absolutely. I was about to say absolutely not, and especially when I see an Alabama offer.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, oh, okay, so who's this schmuck? No offense intended or anything like that, but then I looked, I was like, he has offers from LSU, Alabama?
Some had him at 4-star, some had him at 3-star, I can't remember his name, safety.
Yeah.
Honestly, didn't even plan on bringing that up because – like we've said, commits these days don't mean anything, but how the hell did that happen?
I have no idea.
That's on the defensive side of the ball. Like, who the hell wants to be put in with those people?
Scoot out
there just giving everything he can. And as you've said at least 6,000 times, we don't deserve Boyd.
Nope.
I mean, at this point, we don't deserve KJ. I just don't know, man. This is like one of the most depressing recordings we've done. And I think it's depressing because there's so many obvious things that can be done that aren't being done.
This really isn't me being like full of myself or anything by that stretch, but I can take this team and I can get them bowl eligible if I have them at the beginning of the season.
Dude, half the coaches in the country could.
Guaranteed. Ain't worth shit, but I know I could.
And going off of earlier, I think it did piss me off even more to see KJ come in and kill it.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't surprised, but I was just like,
Yeah, that's where I was. I wasn't surprised, but then you're like, how do you not see this?
And this is 2 years in a row where we had QB stuff, and stuff showed through because Ty Story got a bad rap. I mean, we were the biggest thing that I remember, like, with a guy like Chad Morris and his track record, I feel like we were sold that he could do what's best with the personnel that we had. So the previous regime, he's, you know, made it seem like he would kind of tailor around that until he could get his stuff in, which he obviously didn't. He just let it burn to the ground and, you know, weed them out, essentially, cut, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, that's not how you should go into a program. When you're transferring a program, you got to sit back, find your keys, find your dudes, and then you build your offense around them. It's not going to be the offense that you love running. It's not going to be that. But you have to figure that out. Look at Kentucky. I mean, they destroyed us with a converted wide receiver, but that dude's a gamer. So
that dude is not as good of a quarterback as Starkel or Hicks, and he worked us.
Yeah. So when you're developing stuff and when you're getting this team going, and even when you're trying to take the job, this is all stuff that you need to take into account. And that is not happening, because as soon as you see gamers like John Stephen Jones, now John Stephen Jones, you might sit there and be like, I wish I could do something with it. But as soon as you see KJ Jefferson with that burst and that he can rip it, you have to be like, we've got to work him in some way, somehow, and we should have burned his red shirt a long time ago. I don't even care.
To the bowl with him.
Yeah. So going into it, I don't know what they were seeing practice-wise. Ben Hicks shouldn't have been. So if Ben Hicks was our best option and Starkel didn't commit to us, then we roll with that, whatever, you know. But once we got Starkel and we saw him on campus, it's like we need to go him as one, sprinkle in some KJ for a little difference, and do some gadget stuff and bring him along as we should. And then probably halfway through this season, because let's be real, best scenario with this team, with its, you know, talent level, wasn't going to be an undefeated season. Like, you could play lights out, you're going to get outmatched. But you can still sit there, develop like you should, and you should have an 8-4, 7-5 season, because you have that kind of talent. There is absolutely no reason, because with the crap coaching, superior talent, we were still within one score on a lot of games. What was that, 3 or 4 games?
I think it was about 4 games, and the last ones have been where I've started to notice, and Twitter started to talk about the team has given up. They're still playing hard, but I don't think the team believes in it anymore.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, Bama, you kind of put an asterisk beside Bama, but I don't think Auburn should have whooped us the way they did. Mississippi State damn sure shouldn't have whooped us the way they did.
And Kentucky shouldn't have been like it was.
No, Kentucky shouldn't have either.
But
you
here's
can kind of give them a little bit of a, if you want to kind of give them a little bit of credit, I'm sure they really didn't know what they were going up against with that guy, but at the same time, it's not hard to stack 8 in the box. You want that kid to beat you passing. We talked about that on the recap.
So we might get a little nitpicky here, but that's also what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, hey, we talk about this grid. So how many times, I just feel like maybe a lot of these players were sold a bill of goods like the fans were, and it just isn't what they were told. Like, how many times have we seen a shot of Rakeem Boyd when he's getting going, you know, getting 4 or 5 a clip, and you look over to the sideline, and they're slowing it down, you know, plays coming in slow, and they'll do it. ESPN's done it 4 or 5 times through the season, where it's straight up on Boyd, and Boyd is sitting there trying, like, come on, let's go. Like, this shouldn't be a bad play call. Basic read option, let's continue running it down their throat. Whatever happens, happens. But then we're going to sit there, and we're going to waste 10, 15 seconds, and we lose all of
that. There's been numerous times where that very thing's happening, and we're down to the last 5 seconds of the play clock.
Yep.
And for what?
I understand there's a lot of times when Boyd is tapping out, but when he's feeling it, if he – feed the man.
You know, if he's gonna sit there and take 4 or 5 yards a clip, he's not tapping out.
No,
he wants to finish that thing.
Yeah,
and he hardly ever gets to.
Okay.
I mean,
so with that said, you obviously know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. The sideline shots have shown it. So He's wanting it. He's getting it there. Now, as a player, if you're going to sit there and that just keeps happening to you, you're going to lose the motivation. Like, we're going back to the insanity thing. Like, why are you still calling this garbage? Because it's not working. Like, I mean, honestly, the whole Wildcat stuff, if I was Boyd, sarcastically, I would have just taken a knee after one of those deals because that was what it was good for. Like, grasping for straws, why are we still doing this? Why, you know, we were sold a split-back shotgun to running back system that's going to be the most electrified. You heard it. Fast-paced, all that kind of
stuff.
Most
explosive offense in the country.
We haven't even seen a glimpse of it. Closest,
no, we did.
Closest
we did.
Thing was four plays this weekend.
Yep, that was the glimpse. That's what we needed to see.
And I want to hear from whoever is still on this Chad Morris train. Whoever is. Please try to convince the show. Try to convince the masses. Heck, we might even open up a phone line for you on here. You can hit us up on that 479-308-8605. What are we, like, what more? What are we missing? Do we enlighten us? Tell us why Chad Morris should still be here. I want to hear from that side of the house. I've heard plenty why he shouldn't be, but I want to know. I want to find the two or three that might be hiding. Right now, they are hiding deep in the corner.
Hell yeah. If I was still on it, I don't know that I would have come on the show tonight.
Yeah.
I've been just sitting here and like, so thanks for joining us. Have a good night.
like I said, as soon as I saw the Ben Hicks announcement, I was like, all right, Jordan's done. He has to be done.
Well, I said that on the last show.
Yep.
I said, if anybody besides John Stephen Jones or KJ starts, I'm done. And that happened and I'm done. There is no excuse whatsoever. You're not fighting for anything. There is no bowl game. And as soon as you announced that Hicks is starting, you lost the bowl game.
Yep.
Because he seriously looked like he was out there trying to lose on purpose.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of the whole, you know, tinfoil hat thing, but did he look like he gave a shit?
No. I mean, he never actually looks like he gives a shit, but I also don't read too much into people's body language, but sometimes you got to, and it's one of those deals. And the reason the whole body language thing is that just might be their demeanor. A lot of folks.
Well, Aaron Rodgers.
A lot of folks got on to the Allen brothers for that, and I feel like Austin kind of showed a little bit more.
To be fair, they were probably concussed half the time. So
Austin definitely.
Yeah. So. But where are you at with the boos and stuff? My buddy went to the game and he was saying how he was getting booed, and I was one that booed Cole Kelly last year at North Texas, but I wasn't booing Cole Kelly. I was booing Morris not putting in Nolan or John Stephen Jones. I mean, it's same shit every dadgum year, and it's going to be the same next year if he's still here. But I, as a kid, I'm sure that's really hard to comprehend, but there, what do you have to fight for? I mean, because the team, I think it's pretty obvious, felt the same way. If this O'Grady stuff's true, I mean, it sounds like he got into it kind of in the middle of a team meeting, you know? I mean, and you're going to suspend one of the guys that give you an opportunity to freaking win the game.
Yeah, we don't necessarily know where that is, you know, it first came out or I'm
sure. That was on the hit that line. So, I mean, that's not.
I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more Monday, but, you know, the initial stuff was that he was missing a team practice, but it also wouldn't surprise me because a guy like that, you know, he plays fired up and amped up. The fact that Colorado State is still trying to tackle him proves that.
Right.
So.
And also, kind of going off the tight end thing, it breaks my heart that Hudson's first career catch was negative 2 yards.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, man, for real? But, I mean, we really didn't we didn't learn anything, and that's what's pissing me off. This is like 5 or 6 weeks of not learning anything. Yep. You, like you said, the glimmer was the four plays this weekend. That's all we've seen. There's nothing to take away from it. Our defense still can't stop this kid, Kylan Hill or whatever his name was. He's still running right now. There's no urgency on the defensive side of the ball whatsoever. There was no urgency on the offensive side until John Stephen came in, and then it kind of escalated when KJ came in. We're not learning anything.
Nope.
Half-ass educated fans can watch this shit and say, this is what you need to do. That's why I'm not taking you for being cocky, saying you could have got this team to a bowl this year. Half the damn fans could.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, even Mike Anderson, before, you know, that happened, you could kind of make the argument like there was still some juice there, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm trying to grasp at straws here, but seriously, baseball is the only thing keeping us around right now.
Yeah. So, we do have a little bit of
mailbag.
We got our, you know, normal Andy. He's checking in on us. And right off the bat, because we were worried about him, weren't we?
Yeah, because, yeah, we were very
because
concerned.
There was an Arkansas win, and he says, you guys are right. I don't know what I was thinking, believing Arkansas would win. I guess it was because I was going to the Memphis SMU game, and I thought that Arkansas might win if I didn't watch, and I was wrong on that, too. And then he also says, P.S., my drink of choice is beer. Doesn't really matter which, but I have to get drunk quick. It's Jack Daniels and Coke Zero. So there
you
go.
He had me until the Coke Zero. I was right there with him until Coke Zero.
All right.
But, hey, Andy, you didn't watch. Good for you. I'm jealous. You got to watch a good game. just don't know.
Yeah. So I do have some on that. We went to a local establishment, and me and the wife and some family were watching the Memphis SMU game. So that's being aired on ABC. And it's a sports bar, you know, wings, that whole deal. We're, you know, surrounded by TVs. And, I think at this point it was after halftime, third quarter, right? And we're just sitting there enjoying watching the game. There's plenty of eyes that are on these TVs because it was the only set of TVs. The SMU and Memphis game were the only ones that the TVs weren't messing up because all the other feeds were cutting out and pixelating and all that kind of stuff. So it was the only good game to watch. And then right in the middle, there's a nice little drive going, like red zone. As soon as they start pushing towards the red zone, I think it was Memphis at this time, the TV guide pops up and somebody working the restaurant switches it over to prelim fights for a UFC fight. That isn't until like 10 o'clock. I understand pay-per-view events and they're a big deal to these folks, but there must have been one person in that establishment at that time that was wanting the prelim fights for the UFC fight. And you heard the collective groans, but there was a lot of folks that were watching that Memphis and SMU game. So it was kind of funny to watch.
Shifting gears here a little bit back to what we were talking about earlier. I've kind of been looking for this as I've been as we've been recording, but did you see where Morris blamed the receivers for Ben Hicks' ineffectiveness? He said that it was on drop passes, and this is from Hutch. He said, according to the Power Football Focus, I believe is what that is, there were two that bounced off a guy, which would have improved him to 6 of 13. So Morris is just steadily losing.
He's grasping any kind of respect. I didn't want to look at this, but now I'm looking at the stat sheet and everything.
No, don't do that.
How about?
I think they're probably still filling it out for Mississippi State side, aren't they?
What do you think time of possession?
Well, I know at one point we were on the phone and I said that they had 14 and some change and we had 4.
Yeah, they doubled up on us. We had 19, almost 20, and they had 40 minutes. That's that quick math for you there.
Yeah.
And they bookmarked it, man. They had 12 in the first and 12 in the fourth. Like,
well, to be fair, it's because KJ scored in like 30 seconds. But where do we go from here, man? Do we?
I know where Chad Morris goes. Unemployment line.
He goes back to Texas, right?
I mean,
go keep being a great high school coach, which he is. You can't argue with that.
Hall of Fame Texas high school football coach, right?
And that's a big deal. I mean,
it
genuinely is. That's not an easy feat in Texas, but or anywhere really. But get the hell out of here, dude. The fans want it. Juracek, as you were saying with that picture, he knows what has to happen. And again, I reiterate, nothing's happened yet.
Not a thing.
Brandon Allen's getting pumped up really good right now.
Nine catches. out of our whole receiving core?
Well, there's three jumping out to my head right now. They came from two from John Steven, and I guess it's the one to Burks from KJ.
We had two to Woods, two to Tyson Morris, one to Traylon, one to Gunter. That is just terrible. Terrible.
Did the Ben Hicks forget that Knox is on the team?
Dude, I think everyone forgot Knox was on the team.
You could think that could be utilized, right?
Yes.
Oh, so anyway, we got a basketball game tomorrow, or Tuesday.
That's exciting. Open up against Rice at home, 7 p.m. I imagine the Bud is going to be rocking. People are excited for the era to begin. They're doing this. We've already kind of touched on it a little facetiously, but they're doing this crazy thing called space and pace.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep. Today's my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. Sorry that the Hogs played this weekend.
Oh. But hey, it's Cowboys tomorrow night. Are they Monday?
Cowboys and Giants. Yep.
Prime time.
You
gonna listen on mute? Let's get some insight here. Are you gonna suffer through
the
bug?
You're gonna put me on
the
spot for that.
You gonna listen to Boog all night?
I don't know. I might call you for the play by play.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I can get
you. You can sure do it better than Booger.
I can definitely give you some Dallas play by play. So that.
Let's go back to Paul Feinbaum, Boog. That's where you shined. That's where everything was good. You made that show better, but you're killing Monday Night Football right now.
I feel for Joe Tess, man.
Joe Tess is, like I said last week, he literally said, "Don't worry about it, Boog. I'll keep talking." But me, I take it as the less Boog talks, the better. Tess can carry that whole thing by himself.
Yeah.
He don't need a color analyst. He knows football.
So
I know that's the name of the game, you know, kind of riffing off of each other, but.
So we can have, am I looking at this right? Is our second game in basketball in North Texas? Look at that. We can get some revenge on the court.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we're.
We
know what we have with Musselman, but obviously the SEC, different monster. So.
Game's a little different, though. I mean, you can. A good coach in basketball means a whole lot.
And our producer here just Google searched again. There's still no firing updates. So
we're going to be on
like, that. Looks like we're going to end this show probably without it happening. I am very anxious to see what kind of bullshit he comes up with tomorrow to soften the blow for this crap.
So it's not necessarily Twitter dirt or anything of that, I don't think, but while we end the show here,
talk about Dan Mullen's wife kissing the players on the lips when they come off the bus?
Oh, wow. No, I was more or less just going to see, because there was a plethora of content in terms of our Twitter dirt with all the stuff, but was there maybe a meme or a tweet that stuck out to you in regards to all of this?
Well, you know, honestly, as I was going through a lot of it, none of it, like I said, I didn't really disagree with any of it. I didn't see anything.
It's not about agreeing or disagreeing with it. There had to, like, because I was chuckling and LOLing like crazy reading. I mean, it was a sad, just like a, oh, man. But, I mean, it was all, you know, based in truth, unfortunately. You know?
Yeah, well, I think it was Thunderhog. He changed his avatar real quick to that Juracek picture. I did laugh about that.
Well,
the great Clint Sterner.
Sterner had a good one. Yeah.
Sterner's been, he has no excuse either. And I mean, people can say if they want about the.
Are you talking about the wrapping his head?
Yeah, wrapping his head around everything.
Hard to wrap my head around what I saw from KJ Jefferson. I typically need more than one series to buy in, but damn, that was impressive. Given what we've seen at quarterback at this point in 2019, how in the hell was KJ not taking a snap before week 9? You and me both, buddy.
Yeah, and So you're kind of talking about the KJ stuff in a sprinkle scenario. Granted, week nine is a hell of a lot different than week one, but I didn't see anything that would make me think he couldn't have taken us to 6-6, 7-5. And if you do that, you get a bowl win. I don't feel that burned your red shirt.
Nope.
That's a successful freshman season.
Absolutely. No, I, it is definitely overshadowing, or, you know, I don't necessarily know the word I'm looking for here, but he definitely should have probably been taking every snap from here. You know, week one to now, he should have been the starter. That's just no other way to put it.
Yeah, the reason I was on the don't burn the red shirt wagon is because he waited so long.
Right.
And, you know, after you get down, this is something that pisses me off too. Why did you wait till the end of the half to pull Hicks?
Right.
You put these kids in such a terrible situation. I mean, they come in, if they're down, they were up on us 14-0 pretty quick. Do the change then.
Yep.
That's something that is manageable. But I think John Stephen Jones, what was it, the end of half? What was it, 38-10 or something when John Stephen Jones came in? Yeah. I mean, that's – what do you expect that kid to do?
Yeah, it was 38-10. Yep.
So. What?
The announced attendance was 52,000. Is that right?
I saw 35,000.
On the scoring summary, it says attendance, 52,256.
Man, they must have been doubled up in seats or something.
Man, they were fluffing some numbers here.
But they said leading into the game, I think it was I might have messed this up, but I want to say it was Hutch said that it was announced 35,000.
Yeah, right. Oh, man, why would you even announce that?
I think announce it. Announce it next week, too. That was a homecoming game, man.
Yep. But going back, I saw this one, and it's a gem. Again, especially with baseball season coming around and just all in general. If you're not following Ryan Foulkes on Twitter, you're wrong. But he said, all that to say, he was going on, he said, 335,000 football fans can get a $160 million end zone renovation, then it should be more than reasonable to think that 354,000 baseball fans can get cup holders.
Yeah. So, that's pretty good.
We've touched on it before. It's no easy way. I wasn't on board, but I definitely am on board, and I'm going to close with it. Thank you for listening to the JRD Hogcast. We are officially a baseball school, if you haven't known that already. I am Dylan Lee for the JRD Hogcast.
And I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to Luke Griggs, producing it, cutting it all together. Hit us up on Twitter at JRD Hogcast. You can text, voicemail. Numbers 479-308-8605. JRDHogcast.com for merch. We are self-funded, getting the content to you as soon as you hit that download button. No ads, no fillers. Until next time, woo, pig, suey.